No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of No, Sir, I Don't Like It. I am Carmen Morales. I am your host. With me, as always, is the very funny Brian Vokey.
Hello. You notice we've stopped saying what episode we're at because we're recording a slew of episodes, and we're talking...
That's not true. This is episode 37.
You're saying 37, but we don't know because we keep addressing the news, and the news keeps changing the day after. And we've been very topical lately, and then things change, and what we said is immediately irrelevant.
Yeah.
And so we're not sure of what ones we're putting out, which ones we're keeping. So allegedly, this is episode 37. If not... don't worry about it.
Who cares?
Just listen and enjoy.
It's just a number, just like age, right? Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Today we have a guest again.
Super guest.
Do you not always have a guest?
No.
Oh.
Sometimes we just do episodes, just us.
Okay.
Jamie Flam is a former booker of the Hollywood Improv, former dolphin impersonator.
Mm-hmm. And you used to impersonate dolphins?
Yes.
Wow. Can you, like, would it be rude if I...
Well, it's like stand-up comedy.
Oh, I can't do the squeak thing, I don't think.
He did comedy in a dolphin costume.
I can't do it. That was the worst
attempt. But now, on to bigger and better things.
Hopefully.
Yeah, he just signed the lease right in front of us to a brand new theater.
This wasn't an exciting moment.
Well, it's not a new
moment.
Theater, but it's new leaseholder.
New leaseholder. But
how old is the theater?
1926 it was built,
I
believe.
I it's like old. Old like that.
Yeah. You just said age wasn't nothing but a number, but apparently it is.
Well, sometimes they age gracefully, and a lot of there's so many. I went and saw a taping at the Globe, and like that has like a lot of those like super old accents, a lot of marble. I just love all of that old
the
stuff.
The Globe, is it around theater like Shakespeare style?
Mm-mm. No, it's
so
downtown
random.
LA.
Someone brought it up last night. Said. Like there's a Charlie Chaplin area and where he used to hang out and
in the Globe. Oh wow.
Yeah. Apparently a lot of those luminaries made it their home. The Globe.
And now you're making a new home for new luminaries.
That's the hope. And you guys we're waiting for a courier. I guess is okay if we give the So at any moment a courier is going to be here, and so I have to go give them a package, which has a signed lease and a check for a lot of money. So it's an exciting day.
When you
did
sign
you
a
gasp
lease,
when you signed that check, just
it's more. I was like, this is more numbers as a mathematician than I've ever put on a check. It's crazy and exciting, and you know, maybe I'm an insane person. I'm definitely an insane person, but.
Anybody who's in the business of show is insane,
right?
There's nobody who's not insane.
That is the truth. What have we done? Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Why are you here?
I don't know.
Just we don't like ourselves. I think that's really what it comes
I relate
down
to that.
To.
But we should.
We should. It doesn't
is this
mean
too
we
positive
do.
To talk about on the show?
No, it's fine. This okay. Let me bust out the secret of this podcast. Okay. Is that even though the theme is things we don't like. Through that, you know, from darkness comes light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The real secret theme is it's pretty positive.
The secret theme is the secret.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just wish for shit.
Yeah.
The universe is a big fucking birthday cake.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah, I will hope
positive,
so. That's the.
I'm going to have to go grab it real quick.
Oh, okay.
Like at my desk. So talk amongst yourselves for 4 seconds.
I guarantee you this is going to happen 18 more times this podcast because Jamie's a human pinball.
He's like a hummingbird. He just flitters around from place to place going so fast.
Oh, fuck. I grabbed the wrong one.
Sorry. You called it.
Okay, here we go.
Are these your positive affirmations that you read every day?
I do have a lot of positive affirmations that I try to read. But
are
this
you Tony
one
Robbins
particular...
guy? Are you one of those?
He's in the canon. Mm-hmm. Of things in the world that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I like positive shit.
Okay, so what do you have here?
Okay, so this one in particular was, and it was crazy. So I'd stayed with a lady in Atascadero, California, which is in the Central Coast. Beautiful. Yeah. I went there for a wedding. I had to get an Airbnb. And of course I waited till, you know, the last possible minute. So the only place I can get was in Ginny's Enchanted Garden.
Oh, nice.
Which, I'm way up my alley.
I stayed with the Nashville version of that lady.
Yes.
Her name was Ruth Morningstar or something
I
like that.
I love Ruth.
And it was like several, it was just like a big house, and it was her and her husband, and they were old hippies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, there was like a guy from Amsterdam there, like two chicks like were going to college there. It was like one of those things, but it was very, a lot of wispy material.
Wispy, whimsical.
This mm-hmm. is Ginny, not Jenny.
Ginny.
Ginny.
G-I-N-N-Y.
Okay.
And, but the only caveat was that the room, the only room available in my price range was, it was like a little girl's princess vibe room. It was just a weird room to stay in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I went there comfortable, and Ginny is magical and so inspiring. And I emailed her because right now I'm doing this Kickstarter campaign. I'm emailing everybody I've ever met with the link, and just like, if you, and I was like, for her, I was like, I have no expectations that a lady I spent one night with in her Airbnb was going to contribute, but I was like, send me your magical positive energy. Of course, she did contribute. God bless her. But she said, for the magical positive energy, she's like, just keep saying to yourself all the time, every day, everything is always working out for me. And I love that, first and foremost, mm-hmm. just everything's always working out for me. And so the last 2 days, I've been saying it nonstop, and good things are happening. But the craziest thing was that my horoscope for that day, and I'm not crazy horoscope guy,
yeah,
but I've been reading a lot because this year for Scorpios, big year. Also, my writing partner, Vanessa, who's here all the time, she's a Scorpio, too.
So am I.
Scorpio, when's your birthday?
10/26.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're an early Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the cusp.
You're a cusper, yeah.
But I am very, I'm a Scorpio, for
sure. I just
want
to state that I hate this conversation, but let's keep going.
No, of course you do.
That's what's great about this podcast, things you don't like. Sometimes you have to face them.
I hate the word cusp. I lived in the Bay Area too long.
Yeah.
The word cusp puts me on the cusp of losing it.
If I wasn't me, I would hate this conversation too.
I like the, but I like Ginny, and I like that she's not, she sounds more authentic because she lives in Atascadero.
But anyway, the horoscope for that exact same day was, and I don't have that in front of me, and I'm not going to go get it, but more or less like the exact same thing.
Everything's always just working out for me.
It was just crazy. Anyway, and everything is always working out.
For I mean, I think that, yeah, I think that if you force yourself to think positive, you can, I mean, more positive things will happen for you, because everybody I know who's negative is miserable and things fall apart for them. But I still, I don't know. It's so hard for me.
Here it is.
Guys, it's happened. This is the moment we just talked about.
The courier's
here. The transaction is happening.
The theater.
You guys are listening. They're witnessing a theater being purchased.
Historical moment.
Historical moment.
God, I wish we had champagne to pop right
now. I know. I got half a watered down Starbucks ice thing. You got a couple drops of water. We'll toast to something.
Yeah.
Toast.
Yeah.
To the Hayworth.
Hayworth.
Everything is working out.
Everything is always working out for me. Now if the courier can just get it over there.
Yeah, that's the last step.
That's the last step. I don't know.
So when you put a deposit down on a theater, is it like getting a house? You have to do first, last deposit?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I've learned a lot. But yeah, wow. It's that's it.
This is the this building is the Orange is the New Black building, correct?
The owners of the building is Jenji Cohen and her husband, Christopher. Yeah, and she has a production company, Orange is the New Black, Glow, Weeds. They just sold 2 more shows. They're doing all right.
Wow.
But that's an exciting part of it, is that we're going to, you know, pretty cool landlords to have. Mm-hmm. And they support the arts and want this to be a haven for all sorts of stuff. And, you know, I want to bring comedy there. That's going to be the backbone of it. That's where I come from. But I want music. And I think that there we'll be able to bring a whole another level of talent. And
One thing that I remember talking to you about at the theater when I went over there to visit, which, by the way, very funny story, is that I work next door to the theater. That's where my day job is.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had told me that they're doing improv at the theater next door. It was the house manager of
Eric. Yeah.
That told me that. And and I was like, oh, maybe they're doing stand-up over there too. And I was like, and I was like, let me go talk to him. And he goes, do you know Jamie Flamm? And I was like, yes, I do. That's so funny that guy is next door. And then I brought my coworker over there to surprise you. And in my mind, I was like, these open micers will find you anywhere. Which was supposed to sneak up on you coming out of dumpsters. Hey, I heard you have stage time.
Yeah, they will. But you're not an open. I mean,
I understand what you're saying. I appreciate that. But but I just thought
comics,
it was funny.
The comics will find you anywhere.
And but, they have.
Yeah, they sure have.
But one thing.
Time to give away.
This is a roundabout way of saying I work in the neighborhood. So I know the neighborhood. I've been there for a while now. And one thing that I thought was really cool was how you were trying to get the kids and the school involved in the theater. Yeah. And because one thing I don't like is when things go into lower income neighborhoods and ignore everything around them and try to pretend they're not in that neighborhood. And it seemed like you had a whole side agenda to include the neighborhood into the theater, which is really, really awesome. I think that's great.
You know, the main thing is to inspire. And this is more to me than just a theater. It's a venue. It's a platform to do a lot more. I mean, I want to have amazing shows and comedy and all that. But every show, and we can talk about this for hours. I'm about to get into like that mode. But every show is church in that way, or temple or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's a person with a microphone or people with a microphone that can communicate and connect with other people. And sometimes I get lost in L.A. when everyone's trying to make it and make a career. But that's it. And so this can be a home for all sorts of other stuff. And I really want to embrace the community. My family is from that neighborhood. And
right. You have didn't you say the typewriter? It's called Dynasty Typewriter.
Yeah.
And tell me about that, the typewriter thing again.
It's so surreal. So it's called Dynasty Typewriter at the Hayworth.
Oh, that's the name of the
Have you not heard it? Yeah. Mm. Initial reaction. Be honest.
I don't think of it as the name of a theater.
Then when I explain it, we'll see if your tune changes. And it's okay if it doesn't. it is a little bit, it's crazy and it's weird. Like, so anyway,
sounds more like the name of like a publishing company that makes like books.
Well, we're going to be doing that too.
Oh, ooh. Mm.
I want this to be a big thing, but anyway, trying to come up with a name for a venue is really tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been dreaming about this for years. And so I've had different names, but then as I was researching the history of my family in this neighborhood, I was remembered that Angelus Typewriter was my great-grandparents' business. They started in 1919, I believe, in downtown LA, Spring and Six. And I was like, maybe I'll just follow in the family footsteps. It'll be kind of tongue-in-cheek, but we'll be a typewriter. Right. The kind of pretense will be a typewriter company, and we can kind of play in that world. And then from there, it kind of just morphed into Dynasty Typewriter. And when I first started telling people, I would kind of tell them like a little bit scared, like, it's called Dynasty Typewriter. It's a little bit weird, I know. But at a certain point, I just got to own it.
Yeah.
And what's crazy, like any name, like Upright Citizens Brigade, like was the first time.
Who thought that was going to be a thing?
Or even like the Improv doesn't make sense, or Groundlings, or Comedy Store, we get it.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's just
but,
on the nose.
Mm-hmm. What's crazy is we put this out in the world 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And like last night was our first big open house, and so there's hundreds of people there. It's like people just saying Dynasty Typewriter. It's like you just have to get over that hump, and it's like everyone just like.
They'll probably call it Dynasty for short,
you
know, and then it'll be awesome. Yeah.
But the idea is that we're building a production company. We're creating a whole universe. Mm-hmm. We're creating the Dynasty family that goes back 300 years. And that's the stuff I can't wait to work on is like this. And at the end of the day.
Wait, what is it? Well, you glossed over that. What does that mean? The Dynasty.
We're creating a fictional family, the Dynasty family, that wanted to take over the world. And they had a typewriter company their typewriters, they were the typewriter titans of the entertainment industry. So all the great works over the last 150 years were written on a Dynasty. So the TV shows, movies, advertisements, radio plays, anything that can be written, famous correspondences. Mm-hmm. That's just the world that I want to play in.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, I want this to be kind of like the Muppet Show in that when over time and through podcasting, people get to know these characters from the Dynasty world and they might pop up in a show. And that's my exciting...
Interesting
world I want to build. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and right now, because I have to get the branding and the how we're communicating about this out, it's a theater. There's going to be great shows. You know, if you go to see someone, you not every show is going to be all this Dynasty stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, step two and three is building that. Right. But at the end of the day, hey, it's going to be great shows. If you like comedy and music and stuff, you should go definitely see shows there.
It's great. It's like what? Seats like 200?
Yep.
Yeah. It's an intimate theater that feels like something big could happen there, which is really cool.
Yeah, and I'm on cloud nine right now, and I have been for a while, but like especially like literally the courier thing. Mm-hmm. But last night was the Hello World.
Mm-hmm.
And to see so many people and the outpouring of love and just validating, you know, especially mm-hmm. as I just put like all this money in like every month at the, like that everyone walked in and just like, this is incredible. Like, and that
yeah.
it's going to work. Yeah. I mean, I'm banking on it, but
you're literally in.
But last night, just having 1,000 conversations and seeing people, just seeing people in the space is the vision come to life. And like, you know, you've been walking in there and seeing mm-hmm. it empty.
Yeah.
But to see like just people,
it's fun to finally
stage.
Be able to talk about it. He swore me to secrecy.
Right.
Yeah.
You did a good job.
Thanks.
Except she knew.
She knew. She had
I was the only
know.
One, but I didn't tell anybody.
I know.
I didn't.
It's okay.
But the only reason I told her is because it was so funny that I happened upon your theater. That was
well,
the
I
funniest
part.
I also
knew about it before you had saw him because he was like, oh, there's a space next door and they do improv shows. I was thinking maybe we could do stand-up shows there. And then like the connection happened. So I already knew about it pre you. So it wasn't like, you know.
No, it's crazy because it's been under the, I've been working on this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people have known, like close friends and just certain people I've talked to, it's like it was insane to me that I hadn't gotten back to anyone.
Yeah,
like, everyone did a good job.
Yeah.
The only person I could talk to about it was Mike Menendez.
Oh, right, because Mike was helping move shit.
Yeah. So I was in a corner of the improv, being like, "Hey, I heard you were
right." Anyway, so I'm
has there anything excited. Has there anything you not liked throughout this whole process of like doing this? Like what happened?
Oh, we're getting to the theme of your show.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm subtle. I'm real subtle about it.
That is a great question. I mean, there's so many things. Just number one thing, how much longer it takes than you ever imagine.
How long has this been? Like, when was the seed planted?
The seed has been planted for almost 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
When I first saw this space for the first time, and that's the whole story we don't have to get into, but I did a couple of shows there and fell in love with the building, but it needed millions of dollars of work, and I didn't have millions of dollars, and then the building was sold. And then about a year and a half ago, I got an email from a TV producer, a friend of mine, who's like, hey, I have a friend that's got a spot and he's looking for someone. Sent me the name of the person. Mm-hmm. I looked it up and I was like, oh.
That's the place.
Were you at the improv when you got that
yeah,
email?
Yeah.
You were still booking the improv?
Yeah. And I was like, the Hayworth came back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met with them. My vision was definitely in line with what they had envisioned for mm-hmm. the place. So then we started talking. And then about a year ago, I put in my notice at the improv, just over a year ago, thinking that I was going to leave in a month. I put in like basically my 2 weeks, thinking, all right, come January 1st of this year, we're going to open our doors.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So what's the timeline right now?
So right now, all we need is AV to start doing shows.
Yeah.
Our timeline is March, April grand opening.
Mm-hmm.
That means we've got everything figured out. Like the AV is perfect
because mm-hmm.
it's all about the experience. We want you to walk in and you're just transformed and it's amazing. But it takes time to get all those little kinks worked out.
Sure.
Now that you said the Muppet thing, in the Muppet movie, the first one where they literally transform a theater.
Really? I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
First one or is that the first new one? That's the first new one with what's his name?
Jason Segel.
Yeah, Jason Segel. It's great. I love that movie. And they transform an old theater and they have a big grand opening and it actually kind of looks like
it's walking into your theater.
It's
the revitalization of the Muppets.
Yeah, you got to watch that movie. It's actually,
I'm getting
it is
such
what.
Like crazy goosebumps right now?
Yeah, it is. They revitalize the old theater.
What's amazing too is like puppets has been like this exciting part of the vision. And in the last couple of weeks, had a bunch of puppets there. Last night, there were just puppets hanging out.
What do you mean?
People.
Comics?
These fucking puppets. Like puppet master. No, people bringing puppets. And
that's so weird. Great.
There's puppets there.
That's
like,
so weird. So Jeff Dunham playing the grand opening.
Gonna have Jeff Dunham. I'm sure his employers. Never mind.
See, I was going to make fun of his comedy, but you were going to make fun of something way more real. You were going to go into like his management.
Maybe cut that part. No, but nope. I don't know. Yeah, okay.
Not cut it out.
I hate zippers. So, okay. Wait, I'm trying to think of other annoying things.
Time took. It's taking forever.
Just taking forever. I mean, like, so January, there was a point this summer where I was like, this is probably not going to happen. And I wasn't working anymore and just like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, so time.
We wrote entitlement down.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a big one.
Yeah. Let's, I mean.
Entitlement, especially in comedy.
Yeah. Well, I'm certain you had to deal with that a lot at booking, because I mean, yeah. even just as another comic, you see so much of it. So somebody that wants something from you and they think they just deserve it and you should just give it to them. Like, I can only imagine the kind of like, because from your perspective, you get to see a side of it that we never see. We just get to hear, oh, they just won't fucking book me. But they never hear like the kind of monster that they were to these human beings that that they're asking for. Uh-huh. You know,
I love talking about it, because any opportunity to connect with people on that level, to really think about, I really believe no one owes anyone anything in this world. You just work hard and be cool and good things are going to happen. But that said, I'm on both sides of it as a performer, and I have no entitlement. I have to temper my my own entitlement all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, to set the stage for people who are listening like elsewhere, Jamie booked one of the most famous comedy clubs ever.
Yeah, in the world.
And everybody wants on that stage. So not only does he not have enough room for people who deserve time on that stage, he's also dealing with people who feel like they deserve time on that stage. And those people can often make more noise than the people.
They always do.
Yeah, they always do.
More often, always. And,
we all have our own kind of metrics for what
deserving is.
Deserving is.
Yeah.
And there's so many comics that they got the TV spot that they were told was going to open the doors, and they got the festival and they got all those things. And by those standards, of course, you're like, I should be able to get a spot at a club, but there's 500 of those people. And it's just, it's
yeah, you're in the town filled of people who have been in every festival and been in television and movies. Yeah. Just, you know, endless amounts of talent. So it's just like, how do you, I mean, that's got to be difficult in how do you choose, but not only that, but then how are you mad at me right now? How do you not realize the world that you're in, you know?
Yeah. It's just near impossible.
I imagine every lineup had somebody you were like, "Fuck, I want to put them on."
I got avails from usually 500 comics a week. It went out to like that, like on any week I could book every lineup amazing.
Mhm.
But then the politics come in, and there's a lot, and there's so many shows that I didn't either book or produce, or so the number of spots I had just dwindled, and then the industry favors and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I understand when you're a comic, especially comics, we want attention.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to like us and love us.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyone that doesn't, you're just going to take it. It's hard not to take it personally or think that you did something wrong.
Well, something that I've always said, because I mean, I've been dealing with bookers forever, but it's always just like, it's hard to not take something personal, because what we do is very personal too.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to that, but it's always just have to remember there's thousands of people that are seeking the same specific attention from this one particular person. And it's unrealistic to expect that everybody gets the exact same thing from that person, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean,
it's just impossible for it on your end.
Yeah. And if people saw the names that they were getting passed over, like that have like been doing it for 20 years, and they're guaranteed to kill if they just pick up the microphone. Like those, when you see those people that couldn't get up, it like, but you know, and like this literally happened, but their comic came in a couple years ago, and I remember I wasn't there for that moment, but like three other people were in the box office. They walked in, looked up, you know, we print all our lineups out, and they were like, "That sucks.
Yep.
They were amazing. I remember like they were particularly awesome lineups. But all the comic sees is
not their
not
name.
Them. Not their
not
name.
Them. Not them.
Yeah,
not
that's
them,
not me. That's not me. That's not me.
Yeah.
So I get it though. Like, even I haven't been performing as much the last few years, but even now when those lists come out and like, or shows I produced didn't get into a festival or whatever, I'm like, I feel it too. I'm like, I deserve this.
Right. Yeah.
So it makes my job, or has made my job, all the tougher, because I also empathize.
Right.
And get it.
I get it so much, and I find myself banging my head against the wall with a lot of other people at my level who don't get it. Like, I went up at Friends and Family at the Comedy Store, which is after potluck, and had a really great set after a string of weak sets. And a friend of mine was like, "Adam was in there. You got to go talk to him." I'm like, "What's he going to do? Be like, excuse me, move over Joey Diaz. I'm putting up this guy."
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just there's no fucking room.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to go bother him.
I had a great talk with him about that too, which is like, I was like, I know I know you've seen me do. I'm not going to try to impress you. Like, we already, I know you're busy. And he's like, and I appreciate you not being up my ass. And I was like, and I'm not going anywhere. So whenever that opportunity is available, I'm here.
I got goosebumps again. I don't know. I guess I'm just prone to goosebumps.
Is it cold?
Yeah. Yeah. Your jacket. It's just cold. Just this being self-aware, mm-hmm. which I'm the king of being self-aware, but just knowing, like, when someone comes up and they have that awareness of,
that was
like,
the least self-aware. You did that on purpose, right?
No, I'm probably, no.
I'm the king of being self-aware. That sounds, that's just so big, it sounds like you're not self-aware at all.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's so bombastic. I'm literally the most self-aware person. I'm the king of it.
Like, I'm the most, I'm most humble person on the planet.
Yeah.
Oh, is self-aware equal to humble?
No, not at all. I was just using another example.
It's so weird. Have I been using self-aware wrong?
No, you got it. You're the king of it, so you know.
I'm just trying to be more self-aware right now.
If you're going to be the king of it, you should know you're using it right.
I don't, is this what, every single thing, I say right now is like,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to lose, I'm going to say something and it's going to become viral.
It's not a battle.
It's like, never mind. Okay, it's not a battle.
Would you have goosebumps? Why did you just have goosebumps?
Right. Oh, but just because of being self-aware. Mm-hmm. Like, and both of you are that. It's like when someone approaches me in that way of like, I don't want to bother you. Mm-hmm. I have to do this. No
just
pressure.
So you know that I know that that this is a thing. Like, it's just, it's an acknowledgement of a relationship that is there, and I respect that you. I acknowledge and respect that you are being bombarded on a regular basis by people, and I just want you to know that I exist. And
that goes such a long way. It's huge. Yes, like for you to go up to Adam and knowing when to pick your spots.
Mm-hmm. I've never gone up to him. That's me being self-aware.
Hey, just introducing yourself and saying that. Of course, you should do that mm-hmm. when he's not busy, mm-hmm. Which I know he's like running around there all the mm-hmm. time. But like, I'm sure he wants that. And if he's seen you perform, for sure. It's people pick the worst times.
Mm-hmm.
Timing is important in comedy and just also in relationships. But yeah, like, mm-hmm. and I also realize, and Adam to me, it seems like he's one of the coolest dudes I know. And I know there's some bookers that, you know, they're power trippers and maybe they are dicks. Mm-hmm. And
they're out there.
But I think a lot of times there's a lot of that's they use it as a defense mechanism to get people to not try to be close to them.
Yeah.
Because they have so many people trying to get something from them anyways.
Or they're just burned out and have no other options.
That too. Yeah. I mean, either one of those are options to explain that kind of behavior. Yeah, but yeah.
You have to, if you don't say something, you're not going to get anything.
Yep.
So it's just being
because it's also
cool
not your job to seek somebody else out. It's my job to be responsible for my career.
Yeah.
It's not your responsibility. So it's still like, it's still my job to initiate it. Hi, I acknowledge this world and I know what it is, but I just want to let you know that I'm here.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So many people over the years have come up to me and been like, their lead in is like, why can't I get spots here? Like,
oh, wow.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Or they just, it's the like the interrupting a conversation or
that's how comics are. That's why they're always getting sexual harassment. It's because they don't know how to fucking talk to people.
Yeah.
It's like they're not trying to be violent half the time.
How come I can't get that pussy?
Yeah. And it's just like in their mind, that's like, hey, you want to go out sometime? But they just don't know how to. Hey, give me a fucking spot.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no.
No, not
absolutely
at all.
Not. That's and not how you.
I feel like I've said this on 1,000 podcasts and. But you can never say enough. It's when you're trying to get something that's so there's not a lot of, and there's so scarcity and getting a spot. Like when I have 500 names to look at, I'm going to throw out the people that are dicks or
absolutely
entitled
mm-hmm.
immediately and go for either you're at the highest level and we want to book you and maybe you're not the coolest person, but you're going to sell tickets and that's
you're beneficial
reality
to the club.
And then there's kind of, and it sounds shitty, but it's like, then there's kind of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's not everyone else. Then there's a huge that middle class of mm-hmm. like, you're great, you can headline,
and that's it.
You're gonna be great,
yeah.
But that's where it's like I'm gonna go for the ones that are also really nice and cool.
They're cool,
yeah.
Which is also something you don't like when people just aren't cool.
No,
but I need you to be more specific. What do you mean by that?
I don't like getting yelled at. I think
people yelled at you.
Yes.
I just be nice.
Well, in terms of, not that I get yelled at all the time, but I think it's definitely if I went to a therapist, they'd probably be able to find the moment in my childhood where I got yelled at. And but I really try to approach everything with, like, let's just be nice and cool and level-headed and present. And yes, tension can arise, but if we address it as adults. But in this industry sometimes, and I've seen it a million times, like, people yell. And, you know, a couple times early on when I first started booking the main room, I would get those calls from some managers and agents, like, yelling.
Right.
And I just, I freeze up.
Wow.
I've gotten better at it, but, like, I think, like, anyone, like, just, I just don't understand why my, this client, they're on TV and they're doing this thing. Why aren't they getting a spot? What's going on? I was like, oh, I just, what? I just started, tell me more. Like, let's talk about this.
Right.
And are you able to, it only happens.
You don't date a lot of crazy broads then, huh? If you don't like getting yelled at, no.
No.
See, he's the opposite. He loves you getting like screamed at.
Oh.
it's just the communication I know. I come from a very aggressive, loud family. From a very aggressive
military?
But
seems
not
like
really.
It's pretty yelly, no?
I was, everybody in my family, including myself, has been in the military, but we weren't, none of us finished the first, or we like did the first contract or less.
Oh, got it.
Not. And it wasn't raised in that environment.
But you were still yelled at plenty. So you're
New England contract family is pretty yelly, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's more being from New England.
Oh, got it.
Just how the culture is. People are aggressive and angry, and anger is the first gut reaction to everything. Yeah. So I don't know.
The military wasn't much of a change.
Right. Wait, so do you yell at people? I can't imagine that.
I have a temper that I'm so much better at now.
Although I've heard you tell stories on stage of you yelling.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's real.
But you're a sweetheart. Or you've been a sweetheart to me.
I try my best to not let that person out. But
what's made you yell at someone?
I don't think did I ever tell the story about almost getting your car totaled on the podcast?
No. Oh, wait. Is this when you drunk drove in it?
No. Shh.
I mean.
No. No, this is when I yelled at the guy for parking diagonally in a parking spot.
Oh, no, I don't think you told that
Okay, this is the last time I've lost my temper, and this is also an example of how I'm not tough at all. I can't back up.
You did tell this story.
I did. Okay, so real briefly, just for Jamie's sake, I'll just say that I was fighting for parking, and a guy parked diagonal taking up the only two spots, just across two spots, and I led off with, "You selfish cunt," like straight out loud.
That's what he opened with. You
know? And then went into some further stuff. And then I was so mad I didn't look at the guy. And then once I got his attention with saying the meanest thing I could possibly say, I realized he was this big tap out shirt wearing beast who throws down. And I was just like, oh, gotta go. And then reversed it onto Wilshire Boulevard blindly in Carmen's car. She was out of town. I was watching her car. I was making sure nothing happened to it.
And you got
nothing happened.
Oh.
Luckily, everything works out for me.
Everything is always working out.
I did not hit the guy. I didn't get beat up. I didn't hit a car. It just kept going. This is like right by your theater. This is like two blocks away from where your theater is.
Well, I will say, in a car, I will yell at people.
Yeah.
That's the one place where I can be.
That's your release valve for the rage that you bottle up.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is the release valve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you live on one of the worst streets to drive on.
Melrose?
Yeah, you have the left turn thing written on there.
What?
The left turn thing.
Oh, it's one of the things to talk about. Oh, that's the number one thing. I want to create a series of PSAs for this. Like, in California, I don't know where maybe there's some states that you can't do this. In an intersection, you can pull out into the middle to make your left-hand turn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know this is probably cliche at this point, but like it's crazy to me that more people don't know this.
I know.
And so that is the one time I hate honking too. To me, honking is yelling. but I even like I can be so
What's
mad.
What's funny
but, like,
is I just imagine you screaming inside of your car and refusing to honk. Because
it takes a lot for me to actually honk.
I lead with honk too.
Yeah.
You lead with honk.
Yeah. I'm just like, come on.
But I'm good at the. I was really glad Curb Your Enthusiasm covered that on this season that the new Tesla doesn't have any. It's digital horn.
It's aggressive.
So you can't. There's no touch. Because you can do the please go honk. But I'm really good with that. I can play it like a trombone, the horn.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can teach me.
I can get some emotion out of that.
Yeah. There's like beep beep. And there's also like meep. And there's also meep.
Yeah. You can get volume out of it if you do it right.
Yeah. But like, in LA, where there's so much traffic on every street, we can get three cars through that light.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We can get three cars. The most frustrating thing is I've been in cars with friends recently. And when, like, you have a friend, like, and actually I'm getting pretty bold for myself and just being like, just letting you know, like, if I was behind you right now, I would be calling you a lot of really bad words and saying that you don't know how to drive. One person at a time. We can let them know.
I love that you being bold starts with just letting you know.
Yeah. Just a polite reminder.
I don't mean to upset you or anything, but just for your information.
You took the same test to drive that I took. Yeah. You all have to take a test to get the license.
But that's the thing is, like, not in, a lot of times in California, like, these are all just people that drove everywhere else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have that. There's places that isn't a thing. There's places where that's illegal. You're not allowed to be in the intersection, right. You know? So
I know that after a red light, three cars. That's LA culture. When the light turns red,
you can get a ticket for that.
You can?
Oh, for sure.
For running a red light?
I mean, if you're already out in the intersection, I've noticed culturally here, it's acceptable to go
more
three
so
cars.
In the last couple of years. And I think part of that is a reaction. I get it too. Like, I push it sometimes too, where it's like, fuck it, I'm going to make this light. Like, this person know how to edge up.
Yep.
But people are taking it like one extra car where it's like, all right, the light's been green for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, no, fourth.
Seconds,
yeah, like, if you're in fourth car, you're a psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's been times I've turned and I'm like, I can't believe somebody went after me. Yeah. Jesus Christ. You're crazy I ran a red light. But wait, you still never clarified. What do you mean by not, what's being not cool? Besides entitlement, what's like somebody not being cool?
That's a self-awareness. Is approaching you with a lack of self-awareness.
I think that is it. Just we're just all humans, and we're trying to make it. And I just think it's leading with the what do you just say?
Self-awareness, or wait. You're a selfish cunt?
No, not leading with that. The opposite of that. Leading with the just so you know.
Yeah. Just so you know.
So
yeah.
Just being able to communicate with someone
kinder and gentler,
and not being a dick.
It's crazy that you are this entrenched in this business, being like you are.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive.
You're a little bit of a unicorn.
Well, I'm honestly trying to change it. Like, this is the huge opportunity. It's like this new space. Like, and really, it's like part of the fun of it is coming up with, like, as we're building this business, like, here's how we treat each other. Like, we're coming up with documents for our employees, for. This is the ethos of this place, like, so that people can see it when they, it's like, is this you? Like, we're cool to everyone.
Right.
This is a place, like, so I feel it's an opportunity to start communicating that and starting fresh, like coming into the improv, which is like, it's been in the industry, you know, this, and it's a much bigger business because there's tons of clubs. And so I'm dealing with agents and managers who already have this previous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of play in that world a little bit more. But here it's like, I get
you.
To establish all of that. I'm like, this is not how I talk. This is not how we do deals. This is not like how this works. This is like,
you don't owe anybody anything.
No.
That's fantastic.
And I want this to be magical and awesome for everyone. And that includes every interaction. And I want it to be a place that's transparent. Like, not everyone's going to be able to get up. And it's not going to be, I want it to be a place where people know where they stand.
I think that a lot of people, especially on the performer side, really appreciate that. Because there's so much ambiguity in, like, this gray area where you don't really know where you – like, I know people who have been banned from places, and they didn't know they were banned. They just knew they were never getting – they weren't getting dates anymore, you know? And there was never any kind of that transparency or, like, you know, just honesty and, like, well, this is the issue.
Right.
Because then that doesn't change anything. That person doesn't ever get better, you know, because they don't have the information to know where they fucked up or whatever they did. You know what I mean?
Completely. And I'm not good at it, by the way. Like, this is forcing me to, you know, evolve as a human in a lot of ways. And I'm still not good at it. Like, we were talking, like, last night, you know, we probably had 200 or 300 people there just kind of checking things out.
Yeah.
I had so many conversations and everyone's like, I want to do shows. And there were a couple of people like, I just know, like, stylistically, this is not going to be their world.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, we'll talk. You know, like, it's like, not that last night was the time and place to, like, be that transparent.
Also timing
it wasn't
too,
a pitch meeting.
You don't do in front of everybody.
It was
you'll
an open
never
house.
Work here. You can't do that.
Totally.
You know, it's.
But I do it. Like, I do want to.
It's like the day the king opens up the night of requests, where 200 people line up from the village to give the king their requests.
Right.
Like, it's like, that's not you're why it's an open house. Celebrate it. It's not. Why would you pitch last night?
Yeah, there was a few of those. Like, and that's the comic thing too.
Yeah. Bad timing.
Bad timing. I mean, the culture right now in the last 6 months, I mean, Weinstein and just all this stuff is like more than ever. I want this to be a safe place. And with Cine Family and
where
lots
women
of stuff.
Can come and perform and not be uncomfortable all yes. the time. Yeah.
And everyone should feel comfortable. And and so starting from that point too, like this, I want everyone to feel safe. And it seems like crazy to think I'm starting a theater where that would even have to be a thing.
That's
but
even, right. Yeah, notion. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want people to feel safe and happy. And I don't know. And no, I do know.
Yeah.
I do know. Safe and happy. Safe and happy.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's a like a cool goal.
Yeah.
Right. How cool and progressive.
Yeah.
Man, I really want to work at that place Jamie's got. It's like safe there.
It sounds like an Onion headline.
Yeah.
Like new progressive the theater guarantees.
Yeah.
Has a no rape guarantee.
Oh, an NRG.
Wow.
No, that's right in the
that
contract.
That sounds really bad. So entitlement, people, be
give
cool.
Give me an example of somebody who is like the most entitled. Don't say who it is, but give me an example of somebody who is like the most entitled ever.
Do you find that... more you deal with more that managers are entitled on behalf of their client, or do you have you dealt
the comics
with
themselves.
The comics themselves?
I'm certain it's been both, but
it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, more so comics. And but there's one human I'm definitely picturing first and foremost that to me is the poster child. That you might not even know this person, but no, it's usually comics like we talk about that aren't. They aren't at that level.
Yeah. Madison Square Garden level.
Yeah. There's a few people, but this person, like, it's like, you know, I was a pass here as a regular 25 years ago.
There's no passing system at the Improv.
Yeah. That's the whole thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a paid regular since. And that was a thing, I think, back in the day, but that hasn't existed like that. There's been a few times where, you know, I booked a comic for the first spot, sometimes just in the lab, or where then on Facebook, there's a post. I just got passed as a paid regular at the Improv.
Oh, somebody wrote that about me in a like I was doing a roast battle and they were doing like the little biography thing and it's Dan Nolan, my friend, and I wrote him. I was like, what the fuck are you I just did the lab work thing that you booked in the main room. That was my first spot in the main room. And he was like, it was recently passed at the Hollywood Improv. And I was like, that's embarrassing. Yeah. Don't say that. That's not a real thing.
Right. And I get it. It's like you need validation every place to get, but like I've had to send a couple of Facebook messages like, I got you a spot and I was happy to do it, but this is sends a message to thousands of comics that we have a pass system, which we don't,
right?
And yeah, that's just not a thing. And so, yeah, I get it, don't do that, anyway. But yeah, just like, I can talk about this for 10 hours, but
if you want to hear more about it, Jamie has a podcast called The Gatekeeper.
Oh, of course.
Really
yeah.
goes in depth about this stuff.
Yeah, if you've listened to Gatekeeper, then you've heard all this a thousand times. But yeah, Gatekeeper, great podcast. I'm the king. I'm the king.
Now you're just a king.
Just a king.
You're a king of self-awareness. Now you're the king of everything.
Right. King of K-O-S-W. K-O-S-A.
Yeah.
Cosa. Which means thing in Spanish.
Right, you are a thing. That's true.
We're all things.
We're all things.
Thoughts are things.
I don't know about that.
That's the secret.
Oh, I thought the secret was just to keep talking.
Oh, that's my secret for performing.
Yeah,
just
keep talking.
I thought that was just for radio. I don't think it's the good thing for stand-up, because then there's a lot of horrible things that are said on stage that aren't funny.
Well, I think good comics. Well, the comics come in different shapes and sizes, but write jokes is my number one piece of advice.
Right, for sure.
When I go on stage and, you know, I haven't put in the work. I love doing characters and being stupid and improvising. And I have some jokes. But when I go up, I just talk until funny comes. And sometimes it doesn't come.
Right.
And I just keep digging a deeper hole and keep getting more and more self-aware. And sometimes I've built an audience of people that really love that, but a lot of people don't. And right now I feel like I'm in those moments on stage where I'm just digging and digging, just trying to get a reaction from both of you, Carmen and Brian. See,
there it is.
Hey, there it is. We're good.
And the whole time I was thinking, like, this is exactly how Marc Maron does it too. You know, he just talks and hopes something happens.
It will. Something will come.
Yeah.
It always
eventually,
does.
Eventually. Yeah.
And eventually at least
he
I'll find
do the
my
improv,
out.
Does he? Isn't he like against doing the improv, Maron?
He has done it But he, I think, has a thing from back in the day.
Yeah, he's like an old. Yeah.
Are you German?
No.
Oh. Like Voki? What is Voki?
It's a mangled thing that I don't really know. The newest suggestion is that they found them in Wales. So it might be Welsh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The dynasty family.
Is Welsh?
It starts in Welsh. Well, Wales.
Yeah.
Starts in Welsh.
I know they're known for being inbred and having intercourse with sheep. That's the stereotype of the Welsh.
Oh, that plays. That's a fun little tidbit for the dynasty lore.
We're an inbred family full of sheep fuckers, and we build fantastic typewriters.
Yeah.
That's my Welsh accent.
It's very good. There's 18th century Welsh accent.
Yeah. And he is Welsh. What else?
What else we got? What else we got?
Oh, you know what we got on there? And something we've already addressed is the bulk bins in grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like them.
I feel like when we're coming with that list, like, it was a much better suggestion. But so I like to go to the supermarket.
First of all, what do you buy in bulk?
I buy rolled oats, which is basically like oatmeal, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, it's oats. Yeah, like oatmeal.
Yeah.
Rolled oats.
Somehow I got them. I started at Trader Joe's. They have big bags of them. And then I just got into bulk. I don't know. There's something like I feel like bulk. I didn't grow up in a family that bought in bulk. Mm-hmm. But maybe it just makes me feel like more of a Renaissance man, mm-hmm. like a king. But rolled oats, usually, there was a while where I was really into dark chocolate covered raisins and almonds. Like I had to get over it. Like I was a little bit addicted. What a weird thing to talk about publicly.
Was it just the compulsion of eating them, or was it those specific things you had to I had to have those to
it
get
just
my
became day? And it was in those few months when I had left the improv and before the venue came
yeah,
back
where
in
you
the
were
fold.
Like
your anxiety
super,
eating
yeah exactly you it were was just like stress eating
all this and blanking out
yeah
well, it was like Netflix at night for a couple hours and some of those
You're a wild man, dude.
I know, dude.
Here's what I thought was interesting about our conversation before the podcast about the bulk bin section is that if anybody's ever bought in the bulk bin, you have to write the number, the product number, mm-hmm. and it's usually one of those skinny like bread tie things that and you don't know what side's going to be face up when so you have to write it on all four sides like. And we were talking about how this technology is outdated, but my angle was that I like this technology because it's easily exploited.
Right.
Because there are things that look like other things that are much cheaper. And you can, if they don't care and they're not inspecting, which no store is, you can write down the number for a cheaper thing and buy, like if you wanted to make a pesto and you were going to buy pine nuts, you could write down peanuts. You know what I mean? And like, or whatever.
And then you have a good out because you're like, oh, I thought it was peanuts. Like,
yeah, my bad.
I'm dyslexic.
I got this number wrong. Yeah. I just looked wrong. Yeah, you have a great out.
Yeah.
But nobody's ever even busted me for that. I've been doing it for 12 years.
This could be a whistleblowing episode.
Yeah.
What if like, the venue just doesn't work out because I'm known for consorting with criminals?
A bulk bin exploiter?
Yeah. Man, these companies are making so much money off us, man.
I've noticed twice in this podcast. One, you said I'm worried about saying something that's going to go viral, and then you said this theater won't work out because I'm consorting. So, do you get a little stressed out with all this career ruining that's going on right now?
Not because I've done anything I can think of, but certainly just like all right, this is I'm coming out with this thing that's mm-hmm. public
uh-huh.
that I want to be successful, and
so now you're just you're a public figure now. And yeah. like more and more of that comes
more
out.
More vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I think because I think this is a paranoia that even people who aren't public figures have now. Like I'm not yeah. trying to indict you in anything. I think every person who's on social media a lot is paranoid because of what they see happening to other people. I mean, going like all the way back to that first famous one with the woman made the AIDS joke on the airplane. She was tweeting an AIDS joke about Africa. Right. And then she came... landed on the flight and her whole life was destroyed. She lost her job.
Right.
All that stuff from a tweet. And so I think like even if you're not a public figure, everybody has this fear that they're going to screw up somehow.
Yeah.
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy. And I mean, through social media and just, you know, being online for the last 20 years, like.
Not only that, but before there was social media, she could have made that joke and then it would never have spread around so fast that it would warrant her losing her job or anything like that. Like,
yeah, it's a bad joke and not perfectly timed and just, but maybe I don't know.
Now but I don't know like, if that's I don't know if that's necessarily means she her whole life should be ruined. Like
no, I think
before we had
be
this platform,
to,
you did, that wasn't even an option.
She was just taking a shot.
Yeah, and we've known people that have gone on SNL and these things, and people scour. That's the thing is like we've all written things that, and I've made things that just out of context when I was a kid. Who knows? Oh, like people can find anything, and so
there's stuff on this not this episode, but they could go back and look at the podcast and fuck with me.
Oh, I've been doing a podcast for 7-8 years almost, long shot, with it was with Eddie Pepitone and Sean Conway, like where we're just vulnerable and talking about our lives. And there's any number of things. Anything could be offensive to anyone.
Exactly.
So I don't think anyone's safe from it, but I think as long as you own it, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know.
I do think there's a general paranoia in this society now that is a big thing about the internet that really I think is just unhealthy for everybody. And also the fact that people also feel empowered that they can just take down anybody they want for whatever reason, because you can spin anything and there's so much available on every single person. You would think it would make it freer because like that's kind of the other side of the surveillance culture thing. There's a lot of people who think that's a great thing because there's no more secrets.
Right.
Everything's out in the open. You can't hide. So now we have to embrace and accept everything, but it doesn't seem to really be a real thing.
Well, another aspect of it too that I've had to start thinking about too is like, you know, this is a place that's going to support artists. And so as like, what level do we not, you know, associate with certain people, the artists that I love, that, you know, have a, their track record in certain ways, like, you know,
yeah,
like,
because then they just sick the mob on wherever that person is working. Like I've seen that happen for people just for jokes, like not even people's personal lives, but just like a joke. Then they're like, this person shouldn't be working at anymore. And like, I mean, that's happened to somebody who's even been on the podcast. Remember when we had Ty on the podcast and like, for a joke, they would try. Yeah, they would try. He even talked about it as a. He made it a joke, which was like these people would even call places that he was going to be working in the future, trying to get him fired.
Right.
over a joke, you know. And like, we never had to live in a world where we had to be scared like that, you know. Especially if you're not trying to be harmful when you're making light of something.
Yeah, and especially comedy where you're trying to.
It's in the context of this is a joke.
Exactly. Right. And
you're
trying to make a point.
You're hearing me say these things. Yeah.
And a lot of things, it's like taking on a character. I mean, the Spanglers, Vanessa and I have been doing these characters for a long time. They're their whole thing is that they're non-PC idiots that do not get anything. And so when we're on stage, like we're very ignorant.
Right.
Which gives some freedom, but there's certainly things we did a few years ago that we would just not do anymore. And a lot of it for good reason. I think the capacity for people to learn and grow is something that people overlook. Like, I don't know, like we grew up, there's different language and
completely different language.
Todd Glass is really amazing at communicating that in some of his jokes. Like, you know, things change and you got to adapt, but to be held accountable for certain things. I mean, obviously there's a line where it's like, yeah, if you're hurting people physically, all right.
Yeah.
But giving people the opportunity to atone for some of the stuff and learn and grow, like it's how the healthy society evolves.
Yeah.
I get so weirded out by that stuff because I am doing the opposite right now. Not on purpose. I don't have any agenda, but I do like, you could describe a lot of jokes I have as ignorant. I'd like to think I have a reason for them and there's a point behind them, but like that it stands out and it gets a reaction and it's getting me further along. But then like if I got to a point where someday I get some kind of attention and then all of a sudden I'm going to be a bad guy. You know what I mean? But like, it's like the thing that would like that is working for me will also ultimately probably destroy me the way my brain works.
Well, I think that everything's going to even out. Like right now we're in the last year, it's like at the forefront. And I mean, the fact that Bill Clinton was not almost elected for smoking pot once.
Right.
And now fucking Trump is our president. Like, over time, this is going to kind of figure itself out.
He was almost not elected for smoking pot while having rape scandals, by the way.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? So that's why we're swinging so hard in the pendulum totally. Because in 1992 they were taking pot more seriously than they were taking rape.
That is I didn't thought about that.
And so now they're overcorrecting, which I think ultimately a lot of good will come out of this. It doesn't frustrate me that much, but some of them are frustrating me. But I'm not going to go into it right now. We'll probably do our own podcast about that because I don't want you associated with some of my opinions.
I mean, as long as I think if it's forcing comics and artists to have a filter. Where I think everyone should have anyway, like is this joke worth saying? Am I making a point with it? Is it just to get a laugh versus is it important? Like, I think that's a good filter to have. Mm-hmm. Like, is this saying something? Is this for the church? And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So having those layers and having to have them earlier, I think will ultimately make for smarter comedy. But there's a place for.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a disagreement with that because I was listening to, do you know who Stuart Lee is, British comic?
Mm-mm.
He's one of my favorite comics, but he profiled these Apache clowns from the Apache tribe down in New Mexico and Arizona. And once a year they come out and they have a performance. They're like Gigi Allen style. They're in your face. They slap babies, push old women into lakes and stuff. And they like... Every transgression is performed. Everything is really gross. And their idea is that they're the catharsis for the tribe.
Mm.
And it happens once a year. And everybody reveres them. Ian scared of them. Nobody knows who they are, even though they're members of the tribe, because they hide and face paint and stuff.
Wow. This is now?
Yeah, it still goes on. But it dates back hundreds of years. But they still do this. And I think that a lot of ignorant comedy, if you're smart, like a Doug Stanhope style, I see you, that's what the role is. It's so even if the joke isn't defensible, in its the intent is to get these thoughts out into the air so they're addressed and then you can move on. You know, like I said the worst thing possible. Now let's move on. And I don't know. I think there's something valuable in a lot of ignorant comedy.
But to me, that's not ignorant then. If there's forethought into it.
It's purposeful ignorance. But then to somebody who's just watching it, how do they know that it's purposeful?
They don't.
You know what I mean? That's what I think the problem is then they go home and blog and say this person is horrible, but they don't even understand where this person's coming from.
I don't think it's ignorant. As long as there's any thought that goes into it and there's a decision made that this is what you want to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Versus just going for the dumb laugh, which is bad comedy. It's not ignorant if it's all in the intention.
Right, but the person sitting there listening to you doesn't know that I know about Apache clowns and Gigi Allen and catharsis. You know, they're just they're just hearing a guy.
But that's where when you get called out,
you have
your soundbite. You got to have a soundbite.
You have my spiel.
Have your spiel, but it's a real authentic reason.
Yeah.
And people change, and like we're all going to write jokes
that
10 years later, 5 years later, like I'm like, ugh, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just art.
But that's what's frustrating for me right now is like people aren't letting comics do that. Like they're not letting anybody. Like everything that is said is just apparently that's it, and this is like everything has to be polished immediately, and that's just not how our brains work. Not even just comics, but as human beings, like just not how we function. We say stuff and then we figure it out like, oh, what? That's not like that. And
right.
And you learn. I mean, that's the whole thing is like, it's almost like they assume once you're an adult, you're not allowed to learn anything anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you're just supposed to know everything. And if that's the case, it's not the case. It's just not the case.
You are everything you've ever said defines you currently. That's insane to me.
It's just not true. It's not true.
Yeah. I don't know.
Tell everybody where to find you, Jamie.
Well, I'm going to be pretty much living at Dynasty Typewriter at the Hayworth, which is on Wilshire. It's a 200-seat theater. It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Internet at Jamie Flam, at Join the Dynasty on Twitter. And then everything else is just Dynasty Typewriter, Facebook, Instagram. We'll do this podcast live there. If you support this podcast...
Mm-hmm.
That's a way of appealing to your people.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a podcast studio. There's going to be a lot more than just a theater. Like, it's about creating content and then just implore you not to look back and try to dig up stuff. because it's buried deep. You're going to have to know how to get into some pretty sneaky servers. But anyway, yeah, thanks for having me on. This is so much fun.
Yay,
no, it's a pleasure to have you. And if I can be corny for a second, you're the first person in LA who ever gave me anything. So I really appreciate that.
That's the joy of doing this, is be able to give people stuff.
Yeah. It means a lot.
Yeah, of course.
That's just a sentimental
thing. It helps that you're cool. Now call me a cunt.
Sorry to be corny, but thanks at all for all the stuff you did.
All right. Now your turn.
Thank you, Jamie.
Tell the king of self-awareness how much you like him.
Can I retroactively give you a spot?
Email us, subscribe, do all the stuff at NoSirPod. Email us, NoSirIdon'tLikeItPodcast@gmail.com. That's NoSirIdon'tLikeItPodcast@gmail.com.
And thanks to all the people who started following us after our tour.
Yay! Welcome Appreciate aboard.
That. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? I'm like a stupid one.
I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.